You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Making Waves. Hey, welcome to Making Waves, everybody. This is the Shiprock Podcast. We are part of the Sound Talent Media and Evergreen Podcast family. And we can't thank you enough for being here with us and supporting us. So remember to review, rate, subscribe, and share it with all your friend or your family or your moms and dads and whoever else is in your lovely community of world. So
yeah, tell your mom we said hello. I think
yeah,
that's
tell
important.
Mom, tell my mom, tell Dennis. If Dennis is listening, what's up? What's up, Big D? I like to call him because we're cool like that.
100% he's listening, especially this episode. He loves Kaleido and he's always listening, but now I know he's for sure.
That's amazing.
Into Facebook Live.
And for those just ever joining us, Dennis is Chad Nicefield's loving and adoring father. And that's a wonderful segue, Chad, because ladies and gentlemen, welcome co-host with the most, Chad Nicefield. Hello, Chad.
I didn't know what that was.
As you can tell, it's an unfamiliar voice. I guess it's a little familiar. I'm Al McManus. Justin Press is gallivanting the high seas this week, so he's not going to be joining us. But tonight on Making Waves, we have Kaleido, who are fresh off their amazing set and performance, interesting performances we'll get into on Shiprock Cruise. So ladies and gentlemen, please make welcome Drew and Christina from Kaleido.
Hey.
This is where we pump in
on,
crowd noise.
Everybody's like, God, I love you.
So happy to be here.
Good. Welcome.
I have a question.
Yeah, let's go, Chad.
Right off the bat. So we just mentioned this before we went live, but before we even get into the hard stuff, Christina and I share a similar injury. Hers is much more intense than mine became, but I just want to give a shout out to anybody out there who's like suffering from like any sort of like ligament tears or pulls, specifically in the ankle area. Christina, I don't know if you have anything you want to make a mention of. She's got a boot on. You can't see it, but she's got a boot on.
Protect your feet.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll have a look at it during the live segment. We'll definitely have to have her stick the old foot to get the boots on camera.
Oh yeah. Dude, please.
We had some previous guests who went ahead and Chad, you missed it last week when our previous guests went ahead and put on their pajamas and their onesies and stuff. So maybe we can get into some of that.
That'd be cool.
I'm relaxing the foot right now because I'm not using it, so I don't have to wear the boot when I'm not moving. So it's over
there. Is it possible we could put the boot on and before we go
just
live
to show it?
And then just slowly remove it when we are live? Just asking, no big deal.
Would you like that? Would that add to the
it's
podcast?
Not about me. It's not about me. It's,
you know, look, anything that's a little different, a little fun, we like. So yeah. You know, this is episode 75. So we've run the gamut here of from the ridiculous to the sublime. So anything, anywhere you want to go tonight, Christina, this show is as much yours as it is the listener's show. We are here for you and a little bit for Chad and Carl. So.
Okay. So for real, I got a question if that's okay. You just got off of the Shiprock cruise, which was a feat all in of itself, because if I understand correctly, you guys like biffed it down from like Detroit last minute to ride with us in Galveston, right? Because it was only going to be maybe a stowaway set I don't know much about this, but I just know you did some heavy lifting. So thank you. Yeah, that's what.
Hey,
I
we were just so happy to be able to play as Kaleido on there. So we're all planning on coming anyways to be as part of the stowaways, but to get to add some Kaleido sets in the mix is just the cherry on top, you know.
That's awesome.
We're always like ready to jump at any second.
Do you hear that? You hear that, Al?
I did. I did. I hear. I'm listening. I'm intensely listening.
They pledged to jump when her foot is healed at any second. So.
Good.
I'll jump when the foot's not healed. That's why it's not healed, because clearly, I heard it literally at our first show post COVID lockdown. We played one show and then we were leaving on our first tour 3 days later, and it happened at the first show that I played in over a year. And so yeah. I was not canceling that tour, I would have to be dead in order to cancel that tour. We hadn't played in over a year. COVID was like so rough. So I just toughed it out and made it happen with the hurt foot. And that's probably why it's still hurt right now.
just give you an idea of how Christina works. I think this happened, the injury, like what, we were four songs in to a 13 song set. And she pulls me to the side. We leave to the side of the stage for Joey's drum solo. And she pulls me over. She's like, I think I just broke my foot. I'm like, are you kidding me? Like, are you okay? Like, do we need to stop the show or whatever? She looks up, she goes, we're not fucking stopping this show. I'm like, oh, okay. So she honestly, watching her, there was times that I thought that I was going to be able to tell if she had sustained any kind of crazy injury. You couldn't even tell. There wasn't even a wince on her face. I've never seen somebody just like stone face get through a crazy debilitating injury like that in the moment, more so than her. It was
well, you know, when you're all hyped up on adrenaline. And I also had a combat style boot on, which was compressing it. And so I think that's what held it together. But after the set, I got carried to the green room by a security guard, and I took the boot off and I was just like, oh my God.
It was bad.
It looked gnarly. It was like this big. And I was like, okay, well, I'm going to cry a little bit right now. And then I'm going to suck it up and get ready for this tour in a couple of days.
And then maybe thought about putting the boot back on and getting this out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. I was like, I can't even, I don't want to look at it. It
just Jesus. So like you took it off and then you saw it. Cause at that point, the compression, right. It is like, here's reality.
Yeah,
man. And then you toured for, if my memory serves me correct, because Drew and I talked about this on the ship, but you toured like for 3 months or 4 months straight, right? During this period of time.
So it happened on August 6th at our very first show back from COVID in Detroit. And then we went on a tour with Otherwise for about two and a half weeks. And then we came home for a couple of days, went on tour with the Butcher Babies and Infected Rain for a few dates. And then we left on a 3 month tour with Sebastian Bach. So like the injury happened in August. I
mean, what the hell?
So throughout August and September, that was Otherwise and Butcher Babies. And then Sebastian was just 3 months in and of itself. So
October, November, December, you're saying. And then you did the ship.
Right. Yes. So it was August, September, October, November, December, then the ship. And it's all on a messed up foot the whole time.
Honestly, I think you might be the first, you might take the, I'd have to look back at this, but take the cake for one, our guest that like played the most during specifically last year. I don't know if I can think of anybody off the top of my head that even toured for 3 months straight. Did any of those shows like absolutely get canceled or anything? Or would you guys have them all play through?
Only one of them was canceled, and it was due to someone that worked at the venue having COVID. And so we never even went there and did it, but only one is, it was like 40 some shows. So it was pretty amazing. Went off without a hitch.
And didn't get COVID. So we went almost 5 months of touring with none of us getting sick, which was pretty amazing as well.
Do you guys have like some sort of like packed with the COVID devil, like,
I guess so.
We're all gonna suck your D, devil. You can get us all through this situation. No Make COVID. Yep.
I think that our we just like we got some like super immunity from all of those shows and all those crowds and everything.
Well, when you break your foot in multiple pieces, I guess it gives everyone that extra layer of protection.
Yeah.
So I saw y'all in Nashville on the Sebastian Bach tour, and that was super fun. It was so great. I may have had a couple of those tall Miller Lights. They're like this tall, and that was fun. Were good times. And so this is a good little segue then that I just created, and I'm not even a professional, and I don't get paid one, but that was pretty good because here's where I'm going with this. So Christina, I want to talk about you. If that's okay, because you know what, you probably want to talk about you too. You know what I mean? I don't even know what that means. Your show, specifically you being kind of the centerpiece and the lead vocalist for this kick-ass band, I gotta know, because you know, Chad and I can every week when I host, you know, Justin's probably a little more prepared than me. He's just better at this. But when I'm in here, I do the last minute kind of, I'm running around. I'm like, shit, Justin's not going to make it. I just forgot about this. So I got to jump in and like wikipedia.com or whatever. Right. Mm-hmm. And this one, I'm like, you know what? I don't need to know. I'm going to jump into the, we'll get the quick history and like all the stuff, the beginning, like the kind of the typical shit. Right. That we usually get. That's interesting. And it's important to kind of tell your story, but I gotta know, I guess just some comments about your show. And I think people listening should really take heed. There's a magnetism with your performance. People can't take their eyes off of you. Of course, you know, if you start to float away and your head gets really big right now and you just disappear from the screen, we'll completely understand. Not that a compliment for me means a whole lot. Other than if, you know, my wife.
It sure does. Right? Thank you very much.
So, yeah. So, there's this focal point. It's hard to keep your eyes off of you. I think, you know, when you're on the stage, you know the importance of what you have to do to keep people engaged. You got these great songs. It sounds great. The band's super tight. Where did it start for you? Because just looking back, like on your social media, there was kind of this arc and it's always kind of evolving, whether it's the way you look. And I mean, the sound has always kind of been the same, but I guess to the core of it, what was it that really got you going? Where does that start? And what's been your journey heretofore? I mean, it's kind of a basic question, but I wanted to start with, it's so much fun to watch. It's very powerful and you're giving it everything you got. You can sing your ass off and you can also scream if you need to. And it's like, you got the entertainment package, right? So where does it come from? What inspires you? What makes you get up and say, I have to fucking do this?
Thank you, by the way. That was welcome. Some awfully nice comments.
You're very welcome. You deserve it.
If I didn't have these lights like shining on me, you might be able to see it, but
it's the candle.
He knows how to use saturation. It's great.
That was awfully nice of you. Thank you so much for saying that. I've enjoyed performing and singing since I was a very tiny child. I started singing when I was like 4 years old and performing, dancing, playing instruments, the violin and guitar when I was very young. And so I just always wanted to be performing on stage. I did like some different type of like acting, like theater stuff in school. It came pretty natural to me. And I also had a conversation. This is the oldest conversation that I actually remember. I was 5 years old and my grandmother put me on her lap and I was like running around the house crazy, singing probably some Patsy Cline. And she said, Christina, you're a good singer. Don't ever stop singing. And she passed away very shortly after telling me that. And I never forgot that. It is like such an incredible moment and really special. And she kind of was one of the earliest people to encourage me. And it just stuck with me. So I love it. I feel like that's why I'm on earth. It's like I eat, sleep, breathe, Kaleido, and my music. And I would rather be doing nothing else.
Follow-up question. You mentioned Patsy Cline. And when I was listening, I was driving around today. I had a meeting and then I ran around and I got a fresh haircut for this big podcast. And I don't know if you guys noticed this, but I shaved my beard and I look like a duck.
So good.
Look like you gotta do the duck face.
A wildly obese duck. And there, at least in the songwriting part of it, because I went back and kind of listened to everything, right? As much as I could, and I was in the car for probably an hour and a half. I knew the current stuff a little bit better, having seen it live, and I'm a good listener. There is, and we should probably talk about the songwriting beginning, middle, and end when we get in here in a minute, but there is no doubt, living in Nashville for 25 years and being in the music business here, there is some serious country writing happening. Like I don't know whether you know that or not, but a lot of your songs are crafted like country songs. So you mentioned Patsy Cline. Let's talk about Patsy Cline because big fan.
Yeah. I mean, that was probably one of the very first artists that I ever, and again, thanks to my grandmother, she was listening to her all the time. And I mean, I didn't know anything. I was like five. So, but I started singing like, you know, Patsy Cline and Leanne Rimes and stuff. I mean, this was when I was like 5, 6, 7, 8 years old, you know? So I've also been a fan of a lot of different types of music. And I think that all of the different types kind of like come together to influence the sound of Kaleido. But thank you, because I think that country songwriting is incredible. I've also been lucky enough to become friends with one of the most incredible songwriters, and I've written some songs with him. His name is Ty Stone. And so some of the songs that we've written have been with him, and he's just, I can't speak highly enough of him and his wordsmanship, his craft. He's like a master of it. So I think that I need to attribute some of that to him as well, rubbing off on me.
Yeah, good.
That's interesting. You know, he's from Detroit. I don't know if you knew this. I had no idea. And that makes a lot of sense. I mean, just speaking on the little I do know of Ty, very cool that you guys got to get together in that space. And I got to ask then, because I've done a bunch of co-writing throughout the years of being a musician. How do you feel? Was he the first person that you co-wrote with outside of like a band member? Do you remember? No.
Yep. Yes, he was. And that was our song Goodbye, which was off of our very first EP in 2012. Mm-hmm. So that was one of my first co-writing experiences ever. And it was so seamless, so perfect. He really set the bar for moving forward with any future co-writing at all, because he just made it so simple. And he almost like just like got inside my soul. That song that I'm speaking about, Goodbye, is about a very good friend of ours that passed away. And we wrote the song together literally days after he died. And I was like a complete mess and obviously just bubbling over with all types of emotions. And Ty just kind of came in and like focused those feelings and helped us put that song together. And to this day, one of our most popular songs, it's touched many people and helped them through their grieving processes.
Yeah. That may have been one of the ones that really stuck out to me for sure today.
It got a lot of views on Facebook. It kind of went viral.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a cool song. It's like, you know, it's helped many people. I've gotten a lot of messages and feedback from people who have said that song has put words to feelings that they never knew how to express when dealing with the loss of someone that they loved. So I got to give a big shout out to Ty Stone. Thanks for helping me.
I love hearing stories of like co-writing, because it's such an interesting situation. And like I said, Wilson, we've done a ton of those sessions. I've done sessions with other people for their bands, you know, like the experience that you walk away with in that moment, even if the song doesn't get used or whatever it is, the perspective of other people outside of your nucleus, because when you're creating art in general, if you're ever taking it and monetizing it to the public, there's a sort of like responsibility that you have to continue to, I think at that point, continue to understand what the general public that likes your band, where they're leaning in on, and not make it so such a selfish retreat. Cause we can often do that as songwriters. I know. So I just love talking about that stuff. Thanks for a little bit of the inside scoop on Ty. That's cool.
Yeah. So moving forward, like, okay, so there was this, the 2012, and again, forgive me for my ignorance. I wear it well. Did I mention I got a haircut? Like, honestly, how good is this?
Perfect.
That's perfect.
So we know that you guys are in the middle of projects now, or like, let's not to skip too far ahead too fast, but where is the songwriting? Where is your wheelhouse? Not wheelhouse, but where are you on the songwriting at this point of your career, having released a pretty good amount of music and looking ahead to, obviously it was 2020, was Panic, right? And then how are we looking now as far as what are your co-writes shaping up to be, and how is the songwriting process as of this time?
We have done a few co-writes with some really cool people out in LA, and we have a ton of songs that we're just sitting on right now, and we began recording them before we started touring again. So we kind of have taken some time off from the writing to go and do those tours, because we were just dying to tour again. after COVID, you know, we were like chomping at the bit, like any, we're like, yeah, look, we want to play a show. Cause we had been playing hundreds of shows and that went down to one show throughout the entirety of 2020, which was a drive-in show and everybody had to stay in their cars and it was really weird. So we were very excited to get back out and start touring, but we put the songwriting to the side for a minute, but we did start recording before we left to start touring. So we're jumping back into that now. And so we have a ton of new material and I'm really excited to finish that up and release something new.
That's awesome.
Do you have any timeline on that, by the way? Sorry to
ask the difficult question. Let's go. When is it? When are we, what are we talking about?
People want to know.
So. I know. I don't necessarily have a timeline at the moment. I'm just trying to kind of fill the vault, to speak, with as many songs and then choose the best ones from there. But I'm really happy about quite a few of them that we have right now that we do have tracked. And I'm just going to go ahead and say as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I love it.
I like it.
Well, also the approach. That's great.
Yeah.
Fill it up. Choose from the best one. Don't be like, I got 10 songs. Let's record. It's done.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm so picky with that.
Yeah. You should be.
So right now, if we've noticed here on our Zoom that we are currently live on Facebook, which look, Chad gets very nervous. I'm not good in social situations. No. I feel a lot of pressure. You know, so if I say awkward things, it's just because I don't know how to act in front of the camera. I mean, I don't know.
My hands.
Yeah, exactly, Chad. You fucker took it right from me.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So at this time, I want to remind you guys that you're listening to a great podcast here, but we also produce an amazing rock and roll music festival called Shiprocked, and which we just experienced here a couple weeks ago, featuring the lovely Christina and Drew, who are joining us tonight. So thank you, everyone on Facebook who's joining us. Hello, good evening. Thank you for welcoming us into your homes, in your ears, in your life, in your spaghetti dinner. Chad, what's on the menu tonight, buddy? What do you got?
Dude, we're cooking up a fresh plate of, how the fuck was that Sebastian Bach tour? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, let's talk about that, fella.
It was so rad. I feel like I've been hogging the mic from Drew.
Oh, no, we'll get to Drew. You don't have to worry
about Drew.
We have so much to address with Drew, namely his amazing.
I'm worried about Drew.
Listen, namely his amazing camera, which we're all just feeling completely insecure about. So don't worry about Drew.
I just can't take my eye off of his.
my blur.
That one pimple.
Is that a DSLR? Are you using a DSLR right now?
I'm using a Canon R5. Yeah.
I was gonna use mine. You know, I was thinking about it as I could call you and be like, "Are you using yours?" Because I know
I should coordinate a little better. That was my fault.
Oh yeah, no, it's totally not your fault.
I was gonna use mine.
It would be really embarrassing for me if I showed up.
So okay, so back to the man at hand. Tell us all the juicy stories about Sebastian Bach. All of them.
The Sebastian Bach tour was so awesome. He was one of the kindest, coolest people that we've ever toured with. And he was a blast to hang out with. He is hilarious. Like, I feel like he needs to have like a side gig as a comedian because the dude is like so funny and had us cracking up all the time, but he was just so kind and cool to us. And it was a long tour, so we really did have time to spend together, all the while still being like super cautious because of COVID and all the regulations and everything. But we got to hang out, and the dude is rad. He had us come in on stage like nearly every single night to do Youth Gone Wild with them. Yep. And it was one for the books. I took like a little journal with me on that tour, and I took some notes because I was like, I'm definitely going to have to write about this one day.
Yeah. Besides just the way that he kind of like, he was a self-proclaimed fan of our band. Like, he really liked our music a lot. He was always coming to watch us side stage, hanging out with us after the shows, taking us to dinner. I mean, he was really like the best host that we could have had. And I mean, when you're dealing with a legend of the rock and roll environment, you kind of never know what you're going to deal with or get, right? So we were obviously pleasantly surprised and very happy to know that, like, we weren't just out there touring with him, but building a friendship, you know, and we all feel, that's something that's that extent, you know, how sometimes you go on tour and you get that tour family vibe and your homies on the road, but then you don't really talk to him or hear from him afterwards. You know, Sebastian has definitely still extended and his courtesies and reached out to us and, you know, talked about potentially even going out with him later on. So hopefully we do. That'd be great, because that, I think we can all agree, that was probably the coolest tour we've ever done. So
the story of how that tour came to be is pretty wild as well.
Yeah.
I was at dinner, waiting for dinner downtown Detroit on my birthday, July 8th. And I was just kind of, you know, hanging around, waiting for everybody to get there. I looked down at my phone and it said, Sebastian Bach followed you on Instagram. And I was like, what? And I was like, I clicked it. I'm like, okay, blue check mark, like legit, it's him, you know, like over a 500,000 followers. And then a minute later, it said, Sebastian Bach commented on your video. And I was with Joey and I showed him my phone and I was like, is this like, what is happening right now? Like, why is Sebastian Bach on our Instagram liking stuff and commenting? And a couple of minutes later, our booking agent, Alex Gilbert, called me and said, hey, I don't want to get you like excited or anything, but you guys are being considered for this tour. Are you available? I was like, okay, what are the dates? He's like, October 1st to December 18th. I was like, yes, I am. I didn't even ask anybody else in the band at that point. I was like, yes, we are. And then he, hey, well, on your birthday, you know, I'll let you know if I hear anything. Went and enjoyed my birthday. In the morning, I got a call from Alex and he said, you guys got it. You went on tour with Sebastian for 3 months. So then I hit up everybody else in the band. I was like, hey, I kind of signed us up for this. So clear schedules. And then once we finally met Sebastian, he told me his side of that story, which I didn't know. Obviously, I had only seen him like, you know, commenting on a couple of things on Instagram. And he said, yeah, man, I seen you guys on the internet. I watched your video and I really liked it. I just really liked it. And I called my agent and I said, I want this band on my tour. And then his agent said, well, that's funny because their agent actually already submitted them for this run. And it's just like crazy serendipitous.
Yeah.
How did that happen? I don't know, but it did. And it was rad as hell.
Yeah. That's awesome.
I got to ask one internal question. Was Kevin playing bass on that tour with him?
No. Rob DeLuca.
Yeah.
Got it. Kevin's from Michigan. Wilson did like 2 or 3 shows with them with Sebastian Bach where Kevin was playing bass. And I had just have a really, we could talk about it some other time, but a really funny story about Kevin. I just wanted to see if he was out there still fucking giving it, you know?
Oh, okay.
That's
okay.
Very, very cool. I mean, you guys have done so many, like from shit, fucking Kid Rock, Rob Zombie, you played with Aerosmith.
Yes.
You played with Aerosmith.
We opened for Aerosmith and Slash at Jones Beach in New York.
Oh, that's cool. So putting all of that shit together is like, wow, man. And then here comes Sebastian on your birthday, trying to claim the win of that tour placement. Classic Sebastian. And then he ends up just continuously being cool and giving with this. Fucking awesome, man.
Yeah.
Honestly, that's like probably one of the cooler stories of like a real legend, you know, that is looked at after a band that well. So
it's definitely one of the coolest stories I have in my career.
It's one of the coolest stories I think I've heard.
I mean, and not only that, but like, I don't know about you, Christina, but I mentioned this the other day, looking back, sometimes it kind of dawned on me like, oh man, we just did that. You know, like, looking back at some of these shows, watching some of the footage that we had, because we tried to collect as much content as we could, obviously, and watching some of the videos, like, man, we played some really epic gigs on that run. Like, that was awesome. And watching, well, so, you know,
that's an interesting point, Drew. It's like, do you feel like it's hard to be in the moment when you're going from town to town to town, right? I mean, it's just hard to see the totality of something when you're going from town to town, and then you get done, you can kind of take a breath and and kind of relive it and go, holy shit.
Revisit a little bit and go, oh my God, like that really just happened. Like even watching what she was talking about earlier with us going on stage for Youth Gone Wild, there was a few nights where we brought a camera up there and tried to capture the experience of what it's like, the chaos of being on that stage with them doing that song. And it's so cool to like look back and reflect on that. Like, yo, like we did that. Like that was like some legendary stuff we got to be a part of. That was really cool, you know? So.
I know that, Chad, I'm sure you can relate, you know, when you're on those really long runs and you get, you know, halfway, three quarters of the way in, it is easy to start like, you know, every day you're doing it and like you have to stop and remember, enjoy the moment. Like legit enjoyed every single moment of that tour because of COVID. I'll never take a touring opportunity for granted ever again for the rest of my life.
I did think about all like, you know, not being in the situation where like even, you know, thinking about tours or whatever it was, I thought about everybody else that I know in that space. And I was like, I wonder how this is feeling. Like you mentioned going out on the first show and just going so hard, like your muscle memory, right? That whole, everything that you, whatever bitched about or whatever, for me, like 2 weeks in the tour, I'm like, fuck, or whatever. I couldn't imagine like being in that same position now in that space. Like everything seems probably so magical. And at the same time, like, how does it feel just to be in like, what seriously is a strange world. But on the other side of that, we just got to do some sweet shit together on Shiprock. And before we head into that, I was wondering, is it appropriate for us, Al, to maybe go into Walk the Plank? And then we can...
Yeah, I think there was a couple. I wanted to take one from Jennifer Lowe, who's listening tonight and watching tonight. Hi, Jennifer. Thank you for the question. She wants to know, Christina, who influenced you musically as you were growing up and who influences you now?
I definitely grew up loving Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses. My dad had me listening to that from a very young age. And so I just wanted to be a rock star because I thought Axl Rose was like the baddest motherfucker ever.
And you're right.
But of course, I also like very much enjoyed, female pop stars too, as well. Like, of course, I have to say Madonna and I have to say Gwen Stefani and I have to say Beyonce. And now, who do I want to say now?
You got to say someone now.
I'm influenced by so many people. I'm going to have to say someone now. let's see here.
Here comes the pressure.
Ollie Sykes. Ollie Sykes from Bring Me the Horizon. Mm-hmm. I think he's a badass and I love him a lot.
I love that you went with a guy. Not that you had to go with a girl, but you listed a bunch of females and then you went with the guy. So I love that. I mean, not that I care who you know, it's just cool. Like I didn't expect that answer. How about that?
Also, Heidi
and Carla.
Oh, Heidi and Carla from the Butcher Babies.
Yeah, of course.
Are very influential to me.
Yeah, they're awesome.
And we've had them on the show here too, and they were fantastic and super super fun. And they were great. Obviously, we had them on the ship as well, and I didn't get to see either one of them that much on the ship, which pissed me off. Just like in passing, and I didn't get to see a single show, but I'm sure it was awesome as usual. The next one
I was like rocking out when they played in the theater. I was rocking out when they were playing in the theater.
You're like a super fan, like olden times super fan.
Yeah, I love those. The whole band. Like I just love all of the people in that band. They're so kind. And we, did a short run with them this past year and I got to know them really well. And they're just great people. And I think that their live show is like lit as hell. It's so hype.
Their sound too. Like, when you're on the run, because you're also focused on your show and stuff like that, you don't really, it's often you get to just sit there and really kind of like dial yourself in as a listener to appreciating someone's show until you're on Shiprock. Then like you can kind of like dedicate all your attention to it. And those guys are so freaking tight. I mean, they're real. Their overall sound, their tightness, their stage presence, energy, it's all there. I mean, they're just, they're a cut above the rest, you know, they're really just great entertainers. I can't say enough about their live show. Joey, all of us were blown away. And it only makes it better that they're so cool of people too. And they came and, you know, showed support for us when we were doing our set and came and watched our whole set, every single one of them. And that meant a lot. So yeah, we love those guys. They're fantastic people.
Since we're going straight Shiprocked here, who else did you see on the ship, and who else, what were your other high points from the cruise?
Go ahead.
Bad Flower was amazing, yep, as always.
Yeah.
I cried.
Lamb of God.
You too, huh?
In the theater, Chad?
I cried in theater. Yeah.
Yeah. I definitely had a couple moments there. Yeah, for sure. I feel you. Yeah. Totally feel you.
Lamb of God during the rain on the deck. Yeah.
Same time as Bad Flower. Epic. I moved into from See, one to the other, and I was like, I was like, I'm having a weird, like, emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, I started out watching Bad Flower that night, and then made my way over for Lamb of God, and it was like,
Oh, you were in the rain. Oh, so you watched it during the rain.
I was there. Yeah, I was there too. For that, it was pretty intense.
That was the only hour I had, like, that I could see anything, and it just happened to be like those two sets. So for me personally, I was right there with you, and it was a pretty emotional night, pretty emotional ship. I don't know about you guys, but you know, you put so much time into something like this, speaking to people coming up and, you know, learning our stories over the years and years. And I mean, Drew, you met the band on Shiprocked, right? And now here you are playing guitar. And I could have never thought of playing Shiprocked back in all those years. And now I'm here, like, doing this with you guys. And we're from Detroit, and we played shows together, and then we're on a ship together. Like, this whole camaraderie of what it is, and then it actually happens after not knowing what the fuck the world is looking like.
And that's a cool story, Chad, how they met. And that's where we love the Shiprock connection, right, Drew? Why don't you tell us, recap that story for everybody that's out there now about how it came to be with Drew being in Kaleido.
So basically, for those of you in the Shiprock family that know what I did before I was in Kaleido, I was in the live band karaoke act that performed in the casino. And there was back in, was it 4 years ago, 2018? Kaleido was on the boat. They were out with Seether, and they both, Seether and Kaleido, were asked to be on the boat. And I ran into Christina doing karaoke one night. And I remember she'd picked a Foo Fighters song, All My Life. And I remember kind of thinking, okay, this is cool. I'm thinking that this is a great song choice. I didn't recognize her from her band yet. I thought, you know, the next person's getting on stage. And we started, and I could just hear this command, this presence in her voice. And I knew, I looked over her, she looked over at me, and it was like, okay, we're about to do this. Like, it's about to go down. Like, it's gonna be live. And we tore the roof off the place. It was definitely one of the highlights of all the songs I ever did with anybody on stage doing karaoke. She just slaughtered it, and she owned that song like it was hers. So afterwards, after the ship, I hit her up and I was like, hey, let's stay in touch. That was so cool. That was a lot of fun. So we kind of started this budding friendship, you know, keeping in touch with each other over time. And I was out, I was teching as well. I was on tour with Papa Roach and invited them to the Papa Roach show in Detroit. And her and Joey came out to hang out. While they were hanging out, I remember asking them, you know, so, hey, by the way, if you ever need a guitarist, if you guys ever are in need of somebody to play guitar, wink, wink, hit me up. Like, 2 weeks later, I got a phone call saying, hey, so we're going on tour. You want to come with us? Of course I do. And I've been with them ever since.
That's awesome. Wow. I like to say Drew has those 20-year-old moves. Not like the moves are 20 years old, but he moves like a 20-year-old, because I can't move like that. So when I watch Drew, I'm like, how does he get his neck to do all the, like, his neck looks like it's going to hit his feet. And I'm like, dude, and I always tell him, like, you got the moves of a 20-year-old, man. Good for you.
Yeah.
It'll happen when you're on the road watching people up close, like Clint Lowry and Jerry Horton from Papa Roach, like them doing their stage maneuvers and drops and, you know, jumps and stuff like that. It'll definitely inspire you to be a little more
active. Yeah, not an easy thing to do and play tightly. And play tight,
because
you do that as well. You play very tight, even though like your arms are not connected to the rest of your body and your feet are in a different area code.
Yeah, so. It's definitely an acquired skill set.
He's got toes in different area codes.
Yeah. So honestly though, Drew, look
at
So listen, so seriously though, maybe not so seriously. Like, do you, I gotta know, cause I never did this and maybe you don't either, but do you stand, have you ever, I guess this is, we're going walk the plank, Chad.
Okay.
Truth or dare. Have you ever practiced in front of the mirror, your moves?
Oh, fuck yes.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
Many times.
We got some honesty happening here on the podcast.
Yeah. So that's amazing. All that started when I was a senior in high school, and my friends JP and I used to literally sit there in front of the mirror, practicing to Papa Roach Between Angels and Insects, guitars in hand, not plugged in at all, just to see what it felt like to jump, like leap forward with the guitar in hand, to get used to the feeling of like moving with a guitar like that. And that's how we practiced. Like, we got to put on a show like that, you know? There was a lot of that. And even now, like, that's one of the ways I can rehearse in front of a mirror to see if like what I'm doing looks stupid or not. So yeah,
I do that. Well, where's the threshold?
It's working.
You know, like, when do you know? Like,
when do you know?
I do it all the time.
I'm like, when you watch it on video, yeah, you see a video of it and you're like, ooh, that does not look as cool as I thought it would. Like,
yeah,
I'm axing that move. That's done.
Yeah. So, yeah. Well, I have the old man story of my version of doing that was with a record player. Record player. And it was a song called Fantasy by Aldo Nova, which has a great intro and it builds up. And then there's this killer guitar riff in the beginning. I recommend everybody listening to Fantasy by Aldo freaking Nova. Like, as soon as we hang up, go listen. And there's this intro, this spooky jungle shit. And then all of a sudden, man, I'll tell you, the guitar riff. And you're like, yeah, I can understand why young Al McManus was jumping off his couch with a broomstick. And every time I landed, the record would skip and go back to the beginning. So I just got to do it in a loop.
Just do it over and over again.
Nobody wanted to smack you in the fucking face. So
that was other than everybody.
So a quick story about like something similar to that. So when I used to listen to only hip hop music. That was like, I mained it all through like middle and high school. And what got me into playing guitar and into rock music in general was actually the band Korn. And I discovered my love for Korn by myself one day. I don't know if you guys remember on digital cable, they had the radio stations, channels like 800 on, right? Mm-hmm. And I was scrolling through them one day by myself at the house, and Korn comes on, like the heavy metal station. I'm like, all right, you know what? Let me hear what this Korn band is all about, you know? And it was the song It's On. It was the first song on Follow the Leader, track 13, because the first 12 were silent. So I know, it's like, yeah, I have to explain the whole thing. So the song It's On, and I remember when the break comes in, like when it hits hard right at the beginning, right after the intro, it just moved me. I started like, I couldn't help it. I just got so into it that I literally jumped off the couch, hit my head on the ceiling. I'm pretty tall. I'm 6'2". Hit my head on the ceiling and almost knocked myself out cold.
Yeah. Yeah.
It felt like somebody came down with a giant hammer and hit me over the top of the head. But it's because I got so into the music that I couldn't contain my emotion and zealous nature and just...
In that moment, you realize what headbanging truly was, literally.
I did, literally. Yeah. So yeah, so I get that now. I get it.
He still hits his head a lot till this very day.
I do.
It's Christina, Christina, we'd be remiss if we didn't include you in this, obviously. Do you use the mirror as a performance tool? Not Drew, I'm not talking about a performance tool. But and far hey, and second,
that was Waka Waka. I don't know.
It's late. And then secondary question, not even a follow up, but just part B. What was your moment where you jumped off the thing, skipped the record player, or banged your head on the ceiling listening to Korn? What was yours? What say you?
Well, I think I do not actually rehearse or try things out in front of a mirror, and I probably should, because seeing some of the photos that are taken of me and the faces that I make on stage while I'm performing are scary. So maybe I should take up checking out what I look like in the mirror before I go on stage, but I don't. I kind of just like completely flow, and I know that I look like I'm completely out of my mind like most of the time. I've got these like fantastically large eyes, thanks to my dad. And they just like pop out of my head when I'm on stage. And I'm just like, I don't even know what I'm doing. I'm just doing it. So I'll take one from your book, Drew. Maybe I will do a couple like practice runs in the mirror and be like, maybe you shouldn't make that face.
You don't know. All your faces are friggin' awesome. All your
damn, I just got so like sick. Super, I got super, I feel so weird now because I'm like, yeah, why would you ever like look in the mirror doing all of this stuff that you're doing when you're just having that, you're in the moment. You like, you just kind of right. like, you just kind of like put the cigar inside of the old fogey's mouth right now. I was like, don't do that shit. That's like, you're diminishing the emotion in the performance, you know? Fuck. I should have not cared all those years. I'm like, don't make that face. You look like you're going to eat a baby, you know, whatever it was.
Well, the person that taught me. Yeah, the person that taught me that all that stuff looks different from stages actually was Ollie Herbert. Ollie was the one that was like teaching me about like, oh, you know, on a bigger stage, you know, smaller movements don't really seem as crazy to the people in the back. So like they have to be like fast, snappy movements. So I would like, that's when I really started practicing the mirror and going, all right, does this look crazy enough? Like, is this something that people in the back are going to be able to like feel from doing, because I noticed watching videos myself, like, it doesn't look too cool compared to like what other people I see doing on stage. I'm like, wow, that was really impressive looking. Didn't look the same to me. So Ollie's the one that kind of gave me the advice to, you know, hit it hard when you're doing movements on stage, like break your neck, like break your back, like go really fast and hard with your movements.
Break your foot.
Yeah, no. break your foot.
Don't break your foot.
Yeah.
All right.
So hard that you just break
and that one for everybody watching on Facebook, you have to go back and check out the first half hour of the podcast where we hear all about emergency rooms and inability to walk and kicking ass through the pain. Yeah. That Christina had to go through for a good stretch of time. So
I think the secondary part of the question.
Oh yeah. Oh. Yeah. 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 Who was it? Okay. So you don't look in the mirror, but you do. Thank you for bringing it back. But you had to have a moment, like my moment was jumping off the couch and skipping the record. Drew's was jumping up and hitting his head. Did you have your first, I guess it'd be like a rock and roll moment where you're like, this is cool when I do this. Yeah. Like this made me do this movement. You know what I mean? Anything like that?
The first time rock moved to you.
I think bending backwards on stage, like that's my, yeah, like. moment but like like before on stage, you mean? Like not on stage, like,
well, you were a singer when you were growing up and was there some theater, was there that kind of thing where it was like, what was your first, like, you just did you slide across the wood floors on your knees like with a broom handle in your hand or anything cool kick-ass like that?
Cool kick ass, like
cool kick ass.
No, I can't remember. Like, I just know. I just know that I've been like rocking out and singing and on stages like since my earliest memories in life. But I have to say, like, my first wow moment was probably one of the very first shows that Kaleido ever played. We were invited by Mickey Avalon, which I wound up in Mike Clark's studio with him somehow. Like, this is the weirdest story. Like, Mickey Avalon was writing with Mike Clark and I was invited to go over there and like co-write a song with him. And this was like, Kaleido wasn't even a thing yet. And he was like, yeah, so I like, I have a show at the Roxy. You want to open? And it was sold out. And like, that was Kaleido's first show. And I just remember like being in front of that crowd there. And I was like, that was my moment. Like where I was like, wow, this is sweet.
Yeah. Okay. So basically you didn't even need to have those moments like we do. You just started kicking ass. So yeah. Okay.
Yeah, she started.
I see.
I gotta wrap up this walk to plenty session with what we were doing before the ship, which is asking our guests to ask our next week's guests a question, but you can't know who they are. And it doesn't matter what the question is. But it's always fun if it's like existential a little bit, you know, like outside of music. So you're not going to know who they are, but I do. And so does Al. And we're going to tell them that you want to ask this question to them. They'll know that they didn't know it was you. And then they'll pass that good tidings on for the rest of the season.
That is what Chad said.
Go ahead, Drew. Take it away.
Their favorite childhood memory.
Okay, this is great. All right, I'm going to type that one down.
Okay.
Get out one second.
Do we get a question? Did somebody ask us a question?
No, you know why?
We've been asking them.
Yeah, you know why? Because you know why we didn't get a question from last week? Because Chad had weather issues last week and didn't make it.
Oh, you guys didn't do it.
Yeah, and Justin and I are not thoughtful enough or prepared enough to think about the future. Chad, however, is a future man. He's all about
let me ask you my own question then. So my own question is going to be, and I would appreciate if both of you could answer it separately or together if it was the same time. What's the last thing you cried about?
I cried earlier today while I was recording vocals.
Okay.
All right.
Amazing.
I don't know if I should answer this.
You're crying on the inside now?
Sure. There you go.
Constant sorrow. Constant. All right. I'm rock hard for you right now.
He's a man of constant sorrow. Fucking
intense.
All right. The last time I got worked up is because of a video that I shot of these horses, and it like moved me in a crazy way. And when I was editing it to the music, it was like, I felt like I was doing some like National Geographic footage stuff, and it kind of hit me hard and I teared up. So yeah, sure.
I love that, Drew.
Yeah.
Sync is
we're like a bunch of softies.
Yeah, we are.
I haven't cried like animals. I haven't cried since the late 90s. I haven't had a single feeling since lunch.
Yeah. So, same until just now.
That's right. I think
how do you explain when you cried to me on the boat when you were like giving me a hug? You started crying like, I love you.
What was all that? Different. When crying on the boat is different than crying on land. In the ocean. There's saltwater tears. Okay. There's crocodile tears because they're in the water. It's all very confusing, Drew. I don't think you can handle this.
Where do these crocodiles get here? I'm sorry. Somebody had to ask.
I mean, this shit is falling apart quick, and I love it. I love it. Christina, in what field would you like a lesson from an expert? Take your time. As a reminder, we're live.
Didn't know well under pressure.
Gotcha.
An expert. I'd say, you know what I'm really interested in, and I'm trying to learn and get better at it right now, but it would be awesome if an expert helped me out, would be like graphic design, digital graphic design.
Yeah. I feel you. I totally feel you on that.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to go with.
Yeah. I like that.
Great answer.
Yeah. Cause like in our world, Chad, you are like together, and Drew, even you, right. It's like, you're working on something. You got to throw something together really quick. It's like, I'm going to call a designer. And you're like, fuck, if I was even halfway,
it would be so helpful to my band in so many ways if I was better at it. So I'm trying.
Yeah, that's a great answer. And I feel you on that completely. Question, Drew. Drew already answered it in the comments, but for everybody else that's not commenting, where can we find said footage of the tearful horses?
Oh, the tearful horses videos. That's actually on my production company's Instagram page and Facebook page for Bombproof Productions.
So you went ahead and loaded that up in the comments section already.
Yeah, I'm chatting.
It shows that you're not paying attention to the conversation, and I appreciate that.
We're friends.
I'm not even in the comment section. I'm just so sucked into this entire interview.
I'm just doing the actual streamer thing. You know?
I mean, I know we're friends. I know
he's got a DSLR.
That's a good point.
I came prepared.
Drew, in what area of expertise would you like a lesson from an expert? Not an area of expertise. You know what I mean? In what field would you like a lesson from an expert?
Oops.
You are honestly just chatty right while we're talking to you, you little vixen.
I would love to have that works. Category. I would love a lesson from somebody that's like one of the world class photographers out there. Like an Adam O'Pree or something like that, or somebody that just takes photography to a whole new level that is beyond my scope of knowledge, because I'm very obsessed with it, if you guys couldn't tell.
Yeah. He's got a DSLR.
I got a DSLR. Come on.
No, that's great. I just bought a DSLR today. So, by the way, I would also agree that that would be super dope if we could just sign up for classes together somewhere. You know, show up at their house. We'll show up their house.
I mean, that's a little bit creepy, but I'm down. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take them hostage. Make sure that they have to do it.
Yeah. Aperture. What does that mean?
Explain now.
Okay, Christine, I got one more tough one for you. I would apologize, but it's just not in my nature. If you had a boat, what would you name her?
Trouble in Paradise.
Trouble in Paradise.
Boom.
Ooh, the turnaround.
That wasn't as tough as I thought it was going to be.
Nope. Jeez. She had that one prepared. She got the questions before.
Yeah, she got the questions before.
I absolutely did not.
So, how did you come up with that so quickly? Because most of the time when we ask that, we've asked that over the years, episodes, not years, really, maybe years. So have you thought about this?
Trouble in Paradise.
Say that again.
One of our songs is called Trouble in Paradise.
I know, but I asked you what you would name a boat and that was the thing you came up with.
It's really good.
It is really good.
It's like perfect. I'm not sure. She might be like watching the live stream right now, but Sandra, who is a shipwrecker and just an amazing person, she actually bought a boat. Her husband, Frank, and her bought a boat and they named it Trouble in Paradise after the Kaleido song. So that I'm inspired by that, but also that would be my go-to name as well.
Gotcha.
They bought a boat, right? Like you have a boat currently right now.
They
bought a boat
and they named it Trouble in Paradise.
And it's awesome. It's a sick boat. Very cool.
I gotta ride this boat. Awesome.
I mean,
it's sick. It's cool.
They'd probably love to take you out on the boat, Chad. They took us for a little ride.
If you're listening, just saying, invite me on a boat ride.
I just want to say, Christina said that in such a kind of funny way. I don't even know if you meant to do that, but you're like, oh, Chad, they love to take you out for a ride on their boat.
Wait till you see it.
They probably would. They're awesome people. Yeah, they're a lot of fun.
They are really awesome people. Well, I think that's a great way to segue into a thank you for being on our show.
Yeah, thank you for
being a part of our community. I can't say enough myself. I can't say enough great things about you as humans, about you as musicians, and about you as your work ethic. You're from Detroit, so I obviously know what you do and how hard it is to just kind of like figure it all out. And I commend you every single day. Because I've been watched from day one and it's fucking awesome. You grind, and now you're out there making friends, making family members, and making dreams come true. So thanks for letting
me watch. Thank you so much.
It's fucking great.
Thank you so much, Chad. I've always looked up to you a lot coming up in Detroit and playing together, and that meant a lot to me. And
doing Christmas songs together.
Run, run, Rudolph!
Yeah, and we also we did a Christmas song together.
The night was hilarious.
That was also one of my favorite co-writing. We'll say that story for a later time.
It's a good story.
And Al,
yes,
and
ma'am.
Everybody, Al and everyone at Ask For and the entire Shiprocked family, thank you for being so welcoming to us. It's been incredible. The cruise that we went on and some of the best memories that we have. And I have some amazing relationships that I've made with people thanks to Shiprock. So thank you all.
You're welcome. And that's kind of what Shiprock is all about. It's the relationships and developing relationships and getting to know people better on a more intimate level and all of us sharing this, this wonderful, crazy musical world. So that's amazing. And Drew, thank you for being here tonight, man. I appreciate it. And just so everybody knows, we talked about this a little bit, but new music as soon as possible. That's the update as of today.
That's right.
It gets called ASAP.
ASAP, but my record player skipped. So that's that's why I say ASAP. And then obviously seeing you all on the road also as soon as possible. So stay tuned to all your social media and all the places you know where to find Kaleido. I want to thank Chad for being here with us tonight. I'm sure Justin will be back at some point when he gets his hair fixed. Everybody at Ask For Entertainment, Jennifer Zito, who's in the background right now, making this stuff go for us. Thank you, Jennifer. Mm-hmm. Heather Smith, who is our show coordinator. She does all our graphics for us. Thank you, Heather. Ooh. And then our guest services department for the cruise, Kathy and Peggy. And obviously, our captain, Alan Koenig, without whom none of this would be possible. So thank you, Alan, for letting us have this forum with these wonderful guests and these wonderful musicians, and obviously a wonderful vacation for people. So we remind everybody to rock hard and vacation harder, and we will see you next time on Making Waves. Have a great evening, everybody. Thank you again for joining us.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at SoundTalentMedia.com.